You tell her again you're ready or what?
Yeah. Margaret, I'm ready for sure now. I probably still on for the last time I said I was ready.
She heard every word you said.
She said okay.
Okay. Thank you. So welcome again, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday morning discussion group. We discuss all kinds of important things. Clyde, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Just let's give God full reign.
Precious Lord, we take this very moment to lift the name of Jesus. And Father, we just wait upon the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. Because, Father, that is the truth that pleases you. Yes. So, Lord, as we just take our time, we wait on that. And, Lord, we wait reverently that you be high and lifted up. So have your way here this morning. Give us ears to hear and a voice to speak and hear the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. In answer to your question, Clyde, I think we stopped at 15, verse 21. Does that kind of go with what you guys are thinking? Mm-hmm. And so we want to finish out Romans chapter 15. And let's just have our regular two buddies over there. Well, it's not two buddies, it's Buddy and Brenda. But one of you read through the...
I'll read.
He's that boy, Buddy.
No. All right. You want me to start at 21?
22.
All right. All right, you said, man.
If anybody hears anything that really jumps on you, mark it down so you can talk about it.
All right. So it's 15, starting at 22. Mm-hmm. You said to the end?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, it's like a travel log.
This ambition is the reason why I have so frequently been hindered from coming to visit you. But now, since I have no further opportunity for work in these regions, and since I have longed for enough years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing through Rome. As I go on my intended journey, intended trip to Spain, and to be aided on my journey there by you, after I have enjoyed your company for a little while. For the present, however, I am going to Jerusalem to bring aid and relief for the saints, God's people there. For it has been the good pleasure of Macedonia and Achaia to make some contribution for the poor among the saints of Jerusalem. They are pleased to do it, and surely they are in debt to them. For if these Gentiles have come to share in the Jerusalem Jews, spiritual blessings, then they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this mission and I have delivered to them at Jerusalem what has been raised, I shall go on my way, by the way, of you to Spain. And I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the abundant blessing of the gospel of Christ. I appeal to you, I entreat you, brethren, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love given by the Spirit, to unite with me in earnest wrestling and prayer to God in my behalf. Pray that I may be delivered and rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my mission of relief to Jerusalem may be acceptable and graciously received by the saints, God's people there, so that by God's will, I may subsequently come to you with joy and with a happy heart and be refreshed by the interval of rest in your company. May our peace-giving God be with you all. Amen. So be it.
Hallelujah. When I heard that, even though, you know, he was just kind of saying what his plans are, it became very evident to me that he had a peace. You know, now the God of peace be with you all, amen. And I wouldn't want to trade places with him. The other apostles weren't too fond of him. I think that he was at odds with them about if this is a gospel just for the Jewish nation or if this was a gospel for the Gentiles and the whole world. So that, you know, they didn't have things like health care or, you know what I mean? He was just kind of wandering around the seaside. And there were a lot of people who wanted his head, you know? And yet he seemed, even in telling them, I long to come to you. I long to be with you. Some of these people he had known. If you get into into chapter 16, some of the people he's writing to he had known in Corinth, and he had known, but he had never been to Rome yet. It was the peace that he had in his heart that took me by surprise. And maybe he was just a good letter writer, but I felt peace coming out of his spirit that I could identify.
I was looking at where he so earnestly wanted them to agree with him in prayer. You know, because like he said, the one prophet would have had prophesied to him, mm-hmm. if you go, this will happen. Mm-hmm. And I believe he wouldn't go be disobedient to God, that if he was going, he was being sent by God, but that he was probably thought about what he would be facing, mm-hmm. and in the midst of it would not want to fail, but want to be doing God's will. So he's saying, he said here, that I appeal to you, I entreat you, brethren, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love given by the Spirit, to unite with me in earnest, wrestling in prayer to God in my behalf. And I just, when I was reading that, I just felt like he really wanted them to be united and in prayer with him. And I think supporting him in prayer, you know, I think, when say if you know you're going to be facing something, mm-hmm. you would certainly want to have those that would be praying with you, mm-hmm. agreeing with you, lifting you, supporting you, mm-hmm. in that place.
One other thing that I saw in that was right at the very beginning, and so we have to go back to the last verse that we talked about last week, where it said in, I believe it wasn't in Isaiah, and then he said, for those who know nothing about him will clearly see him, and those who have not heard will understand. So he was kind of just telling them about, I am, you know, God has sent me to the Gentiles. And he already had gone over the Hebrew nation versus the Gentiles, and I wouldn't dare to, you know, even though I know all about the history of all the prophecies in the Old Testament and the New Testament, I only want to be a blessing to you. I want to be a blessing to the Gentiles who know nothing of these things. Mm-hmm. But then he says, the first thing he says in verse 22 is, what a wonderful thing to be able to say. My pursuit of this mission has prevented me many times from visiting you, but there is now nothing left to keep me in these regions. I guess he did it. What does it say here in the King James? But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey, as soon as I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you.
In J.B. Phillips, starting with the 20th verse, it says this, my constant ambition has been to preach the gospel where the name of Christ was previously unknown and to avoid building on another man's foundation, scripture says. They shall see to whom no tidings of him came, and they who have not heard shall understand. That right there tells you basically his reasoning for actually going. Then, if you don't care, I'm going to read this.
Go ahead.
Perhaps this will explain why I have so frequently been prevented from coming to see you. But now, since my work in these places no longer need my presence, I think, let me stop there. This is Clyde's feeling in the spirit that I think that what he says in his presence was needed for they would see consistently what they needed to see in him. As he preached it, he also lived it. And anyway, and it says, in my presence, and since for many years I have had a great desire to see you, you know, I hope to visit you on my way to Spain. I hope to see you on my way through, and hope also that you will speed me on my journey after I had the satisfaction of seeing you. Otherwise, this is not, he's revealing now the person of his desire to be, not just be with you, but to see you and to actually, he's talking about fellowship here. And it says, at the moment of my next call is Jerusalem in Macedonia, and what is that, Achaia? You see that though it a good thing to make a contribution toward the poor Christians in Jerusalem. Now, I was reading this, and because every once in a while I'll see a commercial come on TV, and there's a lot of poor still in Jerusalem. I mean, they're lucky to get food, it looks like to me. I mean, you know. Well, anyway, it says, to look after the welfare of the Christians there. And it says, they have decided to do this, and indeed, they owe it to them, for the Gentiles have had a share in the Jews' spiritual good things. It is only fair that they should look after the Jews as far as the good things of this world are concerned. Otherwise, it's like we should always take care of the Jews.
Does he speak of in his letters, any letters since he's always wrote when he's been imprisoned or wherever he's been, of Spain? Brother Oscar.
Please, I'm sorry.
Does he speak or in his letters or writings of Spain?
Not so much. He says
he's going to
Spain. He doesn't have a letter to the Spaniards. The only place that it says the word Spain is in Romans 15:24 and 15:28. But isn't Iberia another word for Spain?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the only place I've seen it in the scripture.
Kathy, it says, but when I had completed this task, he's on a mission, then and put this gift safely in your hands. He's presented them the gift. Mm-hmm. See, that's the same gift that God's presented us through Jesus. And it says, I shall come to you en route for Spain. I feel sure that in this visit, now this is positive, this is the boldness of the Holy Spirit, I shall bring with me the full blessings of Christ.
Wow.
I mean, he's not putting something off, and he's not saying it might happen. This is the Holy Spirit proclaiming this. Now, my brothers, I'm going to ask you for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the love we bear each other in the Spirit. He's right on here. To stand behind me in earnest prayer to God on my behalf, that I may not fall into the hands of the unbelievers in Judea, and that Jerusalem, Jerusalem's Christians may welcome the gift I am taking to them. You know, it's happy as the man that receives. Then I shall come to you in the purpose of God with a happy heart, and may even enjoy with you a little holiday. It says in there. And so, now, this is, he's looking forward to this, but he's also wanting them to look forward to it. How he's saying it. And the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Otherwise, it's not individually, it's the group. And so I think as the Holy Spirit speaking through him, he recognizes the vision is to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's fulfilling the word of God right here in his life. And I think, you know, you speaking earlier, and this is just my opinion, I think when, because we learned so much from the Apostle Paul, that we have to receive the spirit of how he's saying it from where it's coming. It's coming from the Spirit. I mean, it's coming from life. Because when he's moving into these areas, he's encouraging every one of them about life. Now, it might be one that they haven't heard before, and probably they haven't heard it before. But you know what? Once your ear hears that and receives it, I think it starts to become part of you. It's a birthing process. Anyway, I highlighted that whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Jake, of course, I write in this one a lot.
Yeah.
But
I found that same feeling in what you were reading this morning in verse 30. Will you read it again? It says so much about the unity. He had the sight for the unity of the Spirit.
Verse 30 was where I appeal to you.
Yes, I beseech you, brethren. Yes.
Yes, I entreat you, brethren, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love given by the Spirit, to unite with me
in the Apostle Paul
in earnest wrestling and prayer to God in my behalf.
That's that unite with me.
Mm-hmm.
And the King James says strive together. And what does
it says that we bear with each other the spirit to stand behind me prayer to God on my behalf. That I like this, that I may not fall into the hands of the unbelievers in Judea.
Lifting you up in prayer.
Well, to me it's like saying that the word might not return void.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole, it's the unity, that's when the world will see how much we love one another, how much we lift up, we strive for, we hold up our brothers and sisters.
Well, I'll tell you what, until we started studying the Apostle Paul, I think, and a lot of people don't see this, they say prison's bad, but I'm going to tell you something, in Paul's life, prison was good, and we should say, in Paul's life, prison was good, that he be there, that we receive this word that God has given him in prison. I mean, he was in prison many times just making these scriptures or, you know, writing different books. And well, I've heard so many people, well, of course, Stanley always says, we wouldn't have any of the epistles.
That's right. Paul hadn't gotten to jail.
He goes like this. He said, you need to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but you need to see what effect he's had in people's lives to where they didn't just change on their own. I mean, they didn't stir it up to be that which they are today. None of us in this room have.
And isn't the interesting thing is that of all, Paul was the one who was not a follower of Christ yet when he walked the earth.
That's what made it such a dramatic change.
Yes.
He was the persecutor of
it. Yes.
And that he actually, what was it, Stephen, Oscar? When he seen Stephen and they were stoning him to death. And I mean, he was for that. But, you know, he was there when Stephen.
They did it.
We read as they were stoning to death. Stephen cried out, lay it not to their charge.
And
did Stephen have something there?
Yeah. And do you think that Paul had a greater understanding of the unity of Christ in us, the hope of glory?
Why, I think it began...
those who came up through...
Paul's thing is not an immediate conversion, even though there was a process of, you know, what, he became blind, and, you know, and the whole thing where he had to go to a man. God had already told that man, go to Paul, and, you know, and do this, and this, so he might see. And the whole thing was, let's face it, the whole thing, God was in total control of the whole thing. I mean, if we would understand that, we'd get up in the morning and go like, it's okay, God, what are you doing today? I mean, what are you doing today? Because it's a new day. I mean, a lot of people says, you know, I don't know what scripture it is, but there's nothing new under the sun or whatever.
It's in Solomon.
And nothing new under the sun, but yet we actually struggle with the fact, well, the world's a changing. Really, is it?
No,
or is it being revealed?
Or is our eyesight open?
Is it being revealed to us?
Yes.
And another place it says, morning by morning,
new mercies.
It's interesting you say that.
Kathy, if you still want to look at a commentary, I pulled one up here.
Is it?
If you can just read it. If you want, I mean, it's up to you.
Give me the wisdom to understand your will in my life.
Just keep, if it starts to go out, just touch the white part.
What are we doing today?
What are you doing today?
Just scroll. Just push it. They'll straighten up. It's just because you turned it. And then to move it, just move it up, you know.
Do you know whose commentary this is? Is it Chuck Smith? I read Chuck Smith.
I don't know exactly right offhand whose it is. If you go up to the top, it might tell you. Paul went to Spain, it says. So,
where's that at?
This starts right where we started today.
Right.
It's a commentary.
I pulled up a commentary on
it. It starts at Romans 15:23-28. But now there is no more place for me to work. Oh, this is it. This is the. Okay. As you can see from this map. See that map? Paul had evangelized the entire Middle Eastern neighborhood. Mm. It's interesting they called that a neighborhood. Mm. And had even entered Europe through Greece. Paul says in Romans 15:23-24, but now that there's no more work for me to do in these regions, I plan to go as far as I could go west. To Spain. In his ministry, Paul covered by land and sea about 10,000 miles. Wow. On foot or horse or something. And had spread the good news of Jesus' resurrection across the Middle East. Paul makes it clear in the opening passage of this article that he had not been to Rome previously and thus was not the founder or one of the founders of the church in Rome. That Roman Christian church was formed at Pentecost, 40 days after the resurrection. Was that in Rome?
No, not Pentecost. But he said, he's there saying it was formed after Pentecost. So some people got saved. And
that's when the move of the Holy Spirit.
There was people from all over, all countries around.
And they all went
heard them speaking in tongues, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit too.
It says, now there was a... They were staying in Jerusalem for Pentecost, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came to gather in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome. There it is, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them. Well, listen, all those people, they heard the good news. Arabs, They heard it. They heard, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues, amazed and perplexed. They asked one another, what does this mean? Those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day, including the Jews and Gentile converts to Judaism from Rome. Wow. So many small Christian congregations were formed, as one can see from the different countries gathered to celebrate Pentecost. I'm going to stop that there. That's pretty good information. And it says that when we go into 16, anybody feel like going into 16? Because it says that...
It also says that Paul was imprisoned in Rome twice, two different times. I didn't know that. Once.
Hmm.
But it said twice.
In Jerusalem?
Huh?
Twice in Jerusalem?
No, he was imprisoned in Rome two different times.
Oh, in Rome?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So he never did get it in Jerusalem, I guess.
Well.
Two different times in Rome. But that's okay because good came out of it.
Well, he left Rome, and apparently he did go to Spain and that, all the places then. Mm-hmm. And then somehow he ended up back in Rome, according to what I was reading.
Mm-hmm.
Which the Bible doesn't really give you the history of it,
yeah.
You know, it just gives you sort of what happened. But apparently he was, the last time he was imprisoned in Rome is probably when he wrote all those epistles, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the one where in the book of Acts where the prophet told him, If you go to Jerusalem, they're going to take you away as a prisoner. And he went, you know. And, you know.
Was Paul a Roman citizen?
Huh?
Was Paul a Roman citizen?
He was.
A Jew and a Roman citizen.
They arrested him. And he appealed to Rome. And that's why they took him to Rome. Because he was a Roman citizen. See? He was also a Roman citizen and a Jewish person, too. But. I don't know if somebody in his family was Roman or how he became a Roman citizen, but he was a Roman citizen too.
I think he was very high up and knew all the books, you know, in the Hebrew.
Yeah.
He was a high ranking.
Well, I think he was a Pharisee.
He was
a Pharisee, and you know, so they knew
and
the scriptures.
Roman. Yeah.
They knew the letter of the word of the scriptures very well. That's why when we were talking the other day about the I am part of that, when he said, before Abraham was, I am, they knew exactly what he was saying,
right.
You know, and they were ticked because they knew he was making himself out to be God. They knew that, you know. See, that's the thing we have to study to understand a lot of things. They knew these things in the natural. And spiritually, they should have been able to see when he was saying things, exactly what he was saying, the fulfillment of these things. But they didn't want to see it because they were so steeped in their religious beliefs and everything.
What do you say about the letter of the law killeth?
Letter kills.
Okay, they knew the letter. Life. They knew the letter.
They knew the letter.
So they knew death.
Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's right. And so when Paul went the second time into prison.
Yeah.
I thought like he was led of the Lord to go there,
yeah.
Let him be in prison, that he knew that there was a work that he still needed to finish.
I got the impression that the first time that he, and maybe this is wrong, I had to study into this, but I got the impression that the first time that he was actually in Rome, he was sort of like under house arrest there. And, you know, like maybe he was staying, you know, in somebody's house, and he was under arrest like that.
Is that the time that he says, I'm coming to you?
Yeah, because I think he had the ability to get out of that. But the next time he was actually, I believe, thrown in an actual prison, you know. And
Was it the second time he was thrown in prison?
I think. I mean, I'm just
jail doors opened wide, and the jailer was getting ready to take his own life when he said, don't have that.
That wasn't Paul, that was Peter.
Yeah, Peter, that happened with Peter, yeah, he was, he, you know, but Paul was in prison too, but I can't remember if he might have had that same type of experience too, I'm not with it today, folks.
Was it Paul they threw off of the top of a,
Well.
They stoned him and stuff.
He was dead.
Yeah, he was.
They gathered around and prayed him back to life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said, "Why didn't you just let me go?" I love that one about Peter where Peter gets out because of the miracle, and he goes and he knocks on the door where
they don't believe
it. Yeah,
his girl comes and takes a look at him and shuts the door on him.
That's not true.
It's the ghost of Peter. And he said, "No, wait."
They're inside praying for him, right?
Her name was Rhoda. I remember because a friend of my grandmother's name was Rhoda.
Yeah.
And that's how I remember.
Rhoda Morgenstern.
Wasn't Rhoda.
Yeah.
She didn't open the gate and let him in. She ran to tell them, and they didn't believe him.
Well, like I said, they were inside praying for him.
I know it.
And then he appeared.
Well, let me ask you a question. You know, we know Paul was called, you know, to minister to the Gentiles, but think of what happened with Peter. You know, I can't think of his name. Was his name Nicodemus? Where the guy got the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
And they
called
him at night?
Huh?
And he came to him at night?
They called for Peter to come, and Peter said, he argued with the Lord. He said, "No, Lord," he said, I've never done anything unclean or done this or done that.
Right.
And then the Lord let down that sheet that had all the animals on there that were unclean animals. And he basically said to Peter, he said, "What I've cleansed, don't you call it unclean?" Basically,
right.
What he was saying. And then Peter went and he prayed over that brother, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or whatever it was. You know, they had heard about Jesus and they received the baptism. I don't remember the exact ins and outs of the story. But anyway, so, you know, you would think that guy was a Gentile. So you would think that would have set Peter on a course to start ministering to the Gentiles. You know what I mean?
But
it didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, he still was steeped. And him and Paul had a big blowout one time when people would get saved that weren't a Jew, Peter wanted them to get circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
They would spy out. In other words, they would follow them to where they got ready to use the bathroom and see if they were circumcised. And if they weren't, they wanted them to be circumcised.
Oh, my goodness.
In the natural. Mm-hmm. And Paul got on them big time, you know. And him and Peter had a falling out there when he was in Jerusalem, you know, the one time.
Paul took the circumcision of the heart.
Uh-huh.
The spiritual circumcision.
Yeah, well, Peter was still a Jew, you know what I mean? He was still very Jewish, even though he was saved.
And as a Jew, he had some prejudices.
Oh, yeah, he probably did.
He was still
And you know, God has to work all that out of all of us, you know, in any area that we've got that, you know.
Yeah, maybe one of them Gentiles got it, but
I'll tell you what, you got me thinking about the 10,000 miles that he traveled, and you said it was on foot and everything like that. How many times has everyone in here said, "Boy, it's a small world"?
Yeah.
Something happened in your life where you met somebody who knew somebody that whatever, and you go, "Boy, the world just seems like it's getting smaller."
Yeah.
Now, to him, that was their whole world.
Well, yeah.
We know today that that's not true, but it was his whole world.
Yeah.
So he was going to the... Is it fair to say the ends of the earth?
That's right.
Isn't that what happened to Jonah? Isn't that what happened to Jonah? Isn't that what happened to Jonah? He tried to flee to the farthest end of the earth to get away from what God was telling him to do. And now I think it was Tarshish or wherever he went. It was probably Spain, because I think Spain was about the farthest, you know, in them continents you could go, you know, without crossing the ocean. And the other continents weren't around then. I mean, people weren't around like it is today, you know. But when you think about it, I mean that's a lot of traveling, 10,000 miles, you know, on donkey and walking and whatever, maybe some boats and things, but geez, that's a lot of traveling, you know. But you know what? This Sunday school class right here can travel to the uttermost parts of the earth through the internet.
And let's not, and let's not leave the seat.
And let's never not leave the seat, you're right. Mm-hmm. I think we tend to forget that sometimes, that, you know, how big of an impact you can have through what we're doing right here today, just talking, and, you know, mm-hmm. and it going on the internet.
In verse 31, it sounds like he, like Paul, has not escaped from his reputation of the past, because not only did he ask for them to pray for him to be delivered from the unbelieving Judeans, but it says, and also that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. there may have still been some people who didn't fully, you know,
yeah.
take Paul on board.
And that was all still around the same time as, well, Apollo was doing this and Peter was preaching that. Somebody else was preaching somebody else. And it wasn't perfect, you know.
Well, and even think about this, when Judas killed himself, you know, when he hung himself, and they, on the, in the book of Acts, where they said, you know, the scripture says, it kind of predicted that in the Old Testament. It says, let another take his bishoprickery, or how do you say that? But they drew straws. But don't you kind of think that the person that really took his place was the Apostle Paul?
Yeah.
But
because
yet,
they drew straws.
But
they didn't actually pray and God tell
they
us.
They prayed and drew straws. Well, they pray. I guess
yeah,
they prayed, but
they
drew
straws.
And that's how they picked the person to take mm-hmm. his place. But don't you, God had already picked someone to
this
take
was,
his place, was the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. But I was going to tell you, that's how important it is to get not get your eyes on one individual.
Right.
But let the Holy Spirit lead you in all truth. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd rather know all truth. I mean, and when you see something and other people don't see it, because you're looking through the eyes of God to see the whole picture. It said, when that is in part what shall be done away with, that which is fullness mm-hmm. shall be established.
Yeah.
Well, he's come into us to the fullness. Mm-hmm. He wants the fullness in
That's
you.
Right.
He wants the whole body to be full of light.
Mm-hmm.
I this week I've been
single.
Going over and over and over, if the eye be single. But I also agree with Philip, if the eye be sound. That means not being double-minded, but being stayed on him. Then the body can be full of light. And do you know what? When it's full of light, God can come in you and through you without hesitation. You're not thinking about what shall happen if this happens. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? Whose hands it is? I mean, our confession is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
In him we move, we breathe, and have our being. I mean, it's going to change into him. And how much do we delight in the Lord and in his ways? How many times do you think that's going to happen? Well, once it happens in this class and it happens over these airwaves, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
Woo, people are going to be picking up their feet and going like it. I never have been able to pick my feet up that high. Well, they'll think they're flying. Ooh. Well, anyway, I really like this. I really
God
like this.
God is so good. God has a plan. God's in control. I mean, it's all, I don't want to say it's all God.
But it is.
There's a thing about when you find the will of God, you do your part and then give it to God and wait patiently. But I think that God gives us a part to do. I do.
Our part, I think, is totally trusted in him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know,
if
we,
is.
Yeah. Last week I said if we shrink back, and that stayed with me too. Otherwise, we move forward, we walk. I don't know anybody that doesn't walk one step at a time. I mean, I know some people that don't see that step, and they fall down.
It's your face.
But the whole thing is, it's one step at a time. You know, even when you fell down, you didn't practice not walking one step at a time. You went back to walking one step at a time.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's, well, it's basically almost like a little child. They got to learn to crawl, right? Then they learn to walk, holding on to something. Then they learn to walk, holding on to nothing but air. Same thing we hold on to. Anyway.
Anybody else got anything you want to say? We can close her down now if you don't. Oscar, you've been kind of quiet today.
Yeah, I'm trying to be quiet. Sometimes I say too much. Well, it's been good. The stuff I read up before, that was really good. Everything everybody said, good stuff, has been very good. Very good. Yeah.
There's a script. There's one scripture I want to say. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another. And then it says something else, which I can't remember. And the blood of Jesus shall cleanse us
from all unrighteousness.
Right. Sorry.
Go ahead, what?
I just asked you, honey, if you had anything to say to.
Oh, no. Yeah. You know, when we're walking in the will of the Lord, you know, when you were talking about that, it's what I said to before. That's the first thing I say when I wake up in the morning. Thank you for another day. Lord, let me know your will and have the wisdom to understand it today. Mm-hmm. You know, when we are walking in his will and we have his wisdom to understand it, our whole life changes. Mm-hmm. Our whole day changes. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the way I feel about it is when I say that little prayer in the morning, it releases everything that's going on in my life right over to the Lord. And all I got to do is just walk it out. It's not saying I don't have my ups and downs like everybody else, but they're sure not like they used to be. So...
Well, even in James, it declares, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God.
Yes.
And I think in the Phillips, it says, and he'll not make him feel foolish or
right.
Whatever, you know. But he'll give it to him. He'll give him the necessary, whatever is necessary. A lot of times, we don't receive because we don't ask. You know?
Well, I think everybody in this room can say at one point in their life, We felt like we were on a roller coaster, you know. Going up the big hill where all the troubles are, and then all of a sudden everything kind of settled down. You come down to the bottom, and then you go back up again. You know,
everybody has their mountains in the head of the mountains.
That's right. Everybody's got them. That's right. But sometimes you can make the mountains not as steep.
Yeah.
We have to come to the realization that he's not a God of the mountains or a God of the valleys. He's a God of everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're in the mountain or the valley or wherever it is, he's God.
Well, I remember there was a guy who came through here a long time ago when we were still down in Elmwood. And he said, he said, how many times are you going to walk around it?
Oh, the mountain.
How many times do you want to walk around the same mountain? You know, and when we're walking around the same mountain, what are we doing? We're taking all of our troubles and we're putting them on ourselves instead of giving them to the Lord.
What was that song we used to sing? God is God and he always will be God. He's God in the fiery furnace. He's God in the lion's den.
Yes.
He's God in the whole creation. He's God in the hearts of men. You know, and it's true. No matter where you're at, what's going on in your life, he's God, you know. And the place where we get in trouble, we don't acknowledge him in those situations. So we stay in a bad situation a lot of times, you know, rather than coming up out of it by recognizing his presence in the middle of it, you know.
Well, that's emotions. That's human emotion.
Yeah.
And when we allow our emotions to take over, that's when we're straying away from the Lord.
Yeah.
They're not good or bad, they just have to be subject.
That's right.
Okay, I have had a song I've been thinking about. Has everybody here had a song that's been on your mind all week? Here's mine. The one about, "He shall flow like a river." Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
"He shall rise like
as the dawn.
In glory o'er the plain." I'm too low.
This is the part I like. "And the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth when the Spirit of the Lord shall fall."
And it can fall every day that we wait upon it. Every day. It's what she said, new mercies are fresh and anew every day.
Those are great old songs. A lot of times they're a shame we don't sing them once in a while. There's such truth, such tremendous truth in them.
That's the thing that I just love and my heart yearns for. "The knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth." Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Amen. You don't read these up.
And it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, I think we should just go ahead and close. Oscar, how about closing in prayer?
Okay. Jesus. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather together today.
Yes.
We thank you for all the wisdom that you've imparted here today and all the testimonies of what God's doing in each one's life. And
yes, Jesus.
Thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. And I ask you to just bless each one who hears this Sunday school class this morning, and let there just be a nugget of truth for them that will just encourage their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask you as we go forth into the service that your presence just so overflow the assembly out there, Lord. We know that it dwells inside of each one of us, but I ask that you just let your anointing flow, and by your Spirit we'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor.
Yes, Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Who could have ever thought